was it written at the same time? Who actually wrote it? Can it really be true? I disregard all that kind of stuff. It's here, and it meshes with 1 Thessalonians. Paul had written to the people in Thessalonica who were part of the church that he had founded there, and you can look that up in Acts chapter 17. They're being persecuted for their faith because they are now Christians. And so Paul wrote them a letter about this, when Christ was going to return, because they were concerned, suffering all the persecutions. They were saying, well, maybe we missed it. What's going on? And so Paul ended up writing 2 Thessalonians for that purpose, to clear up the day of the Lord. Let me use this time to also promote our Bible study on Wednesday. We started diving into the book of Daniel. If you don't know what Daniel is, everybody knows Daniel in the lion's den, right? But we're going to be reading the prophecies of Daniel, which are hand in hand, go together with the book of Revelation. It's the Old Testament version of that book, okay? So the end days are coming, and a lot of people are thinking they are really, really close, that we're living in them, and the next thing that definitely can happen or will happen is going to be a rapture of the church. Are you ready? How many are ready? How many got enough reward to be ready to go? I want more. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is Paul writing to Silas and to Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Side note here. Paul had a habit of putting this in all but one of his letters. Grace and peace to you, grace and peace to you, grace and peace to you. Because he wanted people to understand grace, not law, and peace, not strife or turmoil. So in a time where these people are being persecuted and they're really, really suffering, he's bringing them both grace and peace. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and your faith in all the persecutions and trials you are now enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and that as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. That should make people nervous. Just because we're under grace doesn't mean that God has thrown justice out the window. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when, this is the cool part, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, and look how he's going to come. Not like a little baby, first time, in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. See people out there and say, I don't believe in God? They will. They will. They will be punished with an everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. So people say, I don't believe in hell. What did you just read? I don't believe in punishment. What did you just read? It's there. Oh, as a side note, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about money. Did you know that? He spoke a lot about money, didn't he? With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Got that? This is about the day of the Lord. Previously, he talked about the rapture. Do you understand that? Two separate events. The rapture, or the taking out of the church of this earth, translated to heaven, is the next miraculous event that is going to happen in prophecy. Okay? That's the next event. The day of the Lord, which is Christ coming back to judge the earth and bring his church with him, is not until later. They're two separate events. Okay? So you understand that. If you want to know more and be clear on that, come to our Bible study. Right? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Kids can go. Bye, Mikey. Lucky you. You just got Mikey. All right. Prayer requests.
Governor Gavin Newsom.
My wife and I are at odds. My wife is praying for his salvation. I'm praying for his death.
I'm praying for his salvation.
This guy in California, let me let you know, this guy, the governor of California, has established himself like Hitler and has stated that there will be no meetings of churches, period. Grace to you, the radio program that we sponsor in this church through WSEB down in Inglewood, John MacArthur, they have been blocked and banned from meeting in California. Okay? They are being sued. There is a huge lawsuit. And not only them, but all the churches out there. There's another huge church out there that has a Chinese guy that's been out there. They have over 65,000 branches around the globe. And the guy says, I'll just go to jail. I don't care. So they're really in the thick of it. So you think that it's just going to get easier, oh, it's just them. That's just a precursor to moving right here. Okay? So you got to remember, it's coming. It's coming. Persecution, as we read in Thessalonians, is going to happen when you stand up for God. All right? So pray for the churches in California and pray that this gets put to bed quickly. All right? Needs to stop. Well, it doesn't have to stop and continue on until we're raptured and we get out of here, but like to remember that. Okay, school board is still having a lot of issues, a lot of problems. Parents need to step up and step out and make sure that they put a lot of this ridiculousness that's going on to rest and stop this school board from their crazy whatever. So I'm sure when Amanda gets back from vacation, she'll be filling in on that. Okay. Please do my wife a favor. She gets frustrated every week because she comes over here and does the bulletin. She spends a lot of time on that bulletin, anywhere between 2 and 3 hours. If you don't write down your prayer requests and stick it on that wall, it's not going in a bulletin. I've had people say, well, where's my prayer request? Look, if you can't write it on there where she can pluck it off and copy it, she can't remember it, all right? And it shouldn't be her job. So if you have somebody specifically you'd like to add to the prayer list that crosses back their sticky notes, write the name down, stick it on there, and then she'll guarantee to put that into the bulletin. Well, we don't have anything up there right now. Is there anybody that we want to pray for right at this time? We pray for our country, pray for this upcoming Repentance Weekend. Anything else? Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy. Okay.
Also got one.
Boy, yeah. Jeez. He's a Jesus guy, right?
Yes.
That's the key. That's the key. All right, yes.
A friend, Jenna, who's fighting bipolarism and alcoholism.
Okay, definitely. Jen. All right, put her name up there on that cross. All right, yeah.
Ingrid's not doing too well.
Okay, you mentioned her on Wednesday.
Okay. But she is in tremendous pain and all kinds of different things. She's itching
okay.
All
okay.
Just relieved.
Ingrid, she needs Jesus too.
All right. I think she does. She knows Jesus. She's not a born again.
She doesn't know Jesus. No. Let's just call it what it is. If she's not born again, she doesn't know him. She knows of him, but she doesn't know him. That's the key. And it's our job to make him known. Okay. I go 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's my appointment with my specialist guy. So that'll be good. Candy's in the bag. A little less than what I bring you, okay? A little less than what I bring you. You'll get caught up. Don't look at so demanding. Okay, yes.
We saw my surgeon on Friday. They took out part of the staples. The other one's going to stay in for at least 2 to 3 more weeks because, as he put it, my leg is like Mary Magdalene instead of being a virgin.
That means you, baby.
How long did you have to think about that one?
I had to clean you up from what he said.
Okay. He. So these are really his words. Okay, I get you. I get you. That's funny. All right. Good.
And they went at least 3 more weeks on the IVs also.
At least. Keep it going. All right. All right, John, why don't you come on up here and take the pulpit and pray for us, brother. Thank you.
So many people, since this whole shutdown has started and the churches are closed, even the ones now that are opening, people aren't coming back. I think we need to pray for these people.
That's interesting you said that, because that's the whole point of this weekend. And I told you, because of my experience, not because I'm a genius, I told you that they will not come back. They don't. And even the people who've left here, it's hard to get them back. And don't you think that I'm not bugging them. And you need to bug them as well. Once you get out of the habit of going, this is what we call the great falling away. It's in the Bible. I believe that. I really do believe that's what we're seeing, the prophecy fulfilled. The church is falling away. They're not keeping forward. So, yeah, church needs to repent. And if we don't step up, what's going to happen to us is going to be what happened to Israel in the times when the Babylonians came and took them. Okay? So you got all those things?
I'm going to try.
You're going to do good, brother. So I know it.
Forgive me if I leave some of you guys out, but you're in my heart and you're definitely in the prayer. So let's go before the throne of grace. Mm. Heavenly Father, what an honor and privilege, Lord, it is to be able to come before the throne of grace today. Lord, in a nation that's hurting, a people that are confused, where our leaders are making laws, Lord, that are completely contrary to yours. I pray for a healing, Lord. I pray for this national day of repentance. Yeah. Father, that it would be true. Not just in word, Father God, but in deed. That our hearts would be turned back to you, Father God. In a nation where we see lawlessness prevailing, confusion sweeping over a land, what better of a time, Lord, than to have your light on the hill. Heavenly Father, I pray that every heart in this room today would make that choice to be that light. I am comforted by the fact, Lord, that you always had a remnant. And that, yes, there will be a great falling away, Lord, but those that are yours. And we thank you, God, for that, because not a single person, not the devil, not the gates of hell, and not a single person in this room, including myself, can remove myself from your hands. Heavenly Father, I pray for an administration, Father God, that is constantly under attack. Everything from their families, Lord God, to their policies. I've never seen so many lies thrown at somebody, and none of them stick, but for people to continue to hate one man. Father God, this country is so divided from everything from politics to law enforcement. We need you now, Lord. We need you to fill our hearts. We need you to fill our minds. We need guidance and we need direction, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, and thank you that Galen's getting better. I pray, Heavenly Father, for his cousin that's in critical condition in an IC unit with a respirator, Lord God. Lord, I don't know that it's your will. I know precious in the eyes is every death of one of your saints, Lord God. And I don't want to pray, Lord, for you to heal him if that not be your will. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would touch his mind and his heart with peace, Father God. The peace that only you can give, Father God, not the peace of this world. There is no peace in this world, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray for this young lady's friend up here who knows about you, Lord. Lord Jesus, that's not good enough. Knowing about you, even the devil knows about you, Lord. The demons know about you, Lord, and they shake, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that she would come to know you. Father God, time is short. Today is the day. Today is the day. Father, I pray that you would empty our hearts and minds today, Lord, as this is a day of worship. I pray that you would empty it of everything, Father God, that is not of you. That your word and your spirit would fill our hearts as your spirit fills this room, Father God. That you would continue to guide us. Lord, I pray for this National Day of Repentance that it would be true. That our hearts would be true, Lord, in coming back to you. That we would turn away from our sin, Father God. And we would turn back to you. Because that is the only way, Lord. That this land is going to be healed. Father, I don't know why you had mercy on this country 4 years ago. It baffles me. But I don't know why you would have so great a mercy on a sinner like me either. You told us to pray for our enemies, Lord. I'm going to pray for Gavin Newsom right now. I don't pray for his death, Lord. I pray that he would come to know the gospel, Father God. That is the power to change hearts, Lord. That is the power, Lord. That it's going to take to change California's ways. Heavenly Father, for all those, for your church throughout the land that, Lord, they're not allowed to worship right now, Father God, I pray that they take a stand. Lord Jesus, you tell us to follow all man's law. Lord, you said to do it unless it goes against yours. Well, we are certainly on the track where we are going against yours. I pray, Father God, that your church, that your bride would stand up and stand out, Father God, and proclaim to the world that you, Jesus Christ, are the answer. You are the only answer. Thank you, God, for so great a mercy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so great of grace and love towards us. What are we, Lord, that you are mindful of us? God, we give you thanks for all your tenderness, for all your lovingness. For all your righteousness, and even in your justice, Lord, we know that it is righteous and it's done in love. Oh God, what a relief it is to know that we are in your hands, that we don't have to worry about it no more. We don't have to worry about it. The world's perishing, Lord, and everything in it is perishing. Help us, God, to be that remnant. And we ask these things in the only name in which to be saved, Jesus' name.
Amen. He does good. Make sure you're here next Saturday because you're going to be leading some of that prayer. Got it? That'll be good. Repentance doesn't mean to just change what you think. Repentance also means to turn around and walk the other way. Amen. That's the key. I'll save that for the sermon. May the ushers come forward for the offering.
church, and thank you for the chance to give back to you.
Amen. Have a seat. I ran across this video by accident.
And I was just so touched by it. I was like, you know, this is way too cool. What makes you you? What excites you? What makes you different than everybody else? What gets you running? What makes you mad? What makes you want to get and see changes done? Well, every one of us are different. While we are made and created in the image of God, and we are redeemed to that image in Christ, He still has different jobs for each and every one of us, different things that He has called each and every one of us to. Finding what you are good at is going to be your mission. And if you're not searching, you're losing, okay? And if you're not helping somebody help search, you're missing a great ministry. Go ahead, Mike. You're guilty of any of those things. Yeah. Oh yeah, a whole bunch of us. Oh yeah. What do you mean I can't go do that anymore? Yeah. You know, that's the fun part about Jesus, is that He's not some boring God that you come and everybody has to behave exactly like He does, or you have to behave like everybody else does. He's not trying to make you into a conformity of a one person who sits there and is good all the time and just says all the right words. He's using you, your personality. And some of you folks may not be hitting it on all cylinders yet. I get it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to stop jamming on you. Because if I've learned one thing, I've learned that Jesus is fun. Amen? Jesus is awesome. I mean, I've watched Bill go from to. I mean, it's just amazing. God is awesome. He changes us. He uses us. He's got ministry and things for you to do that he doesn't have anybody else to do. There's people that you know that nobody else knows that doesn't know Jesus. And they need to know them through you and your actions. And today I want to ask you, what is it that you are doing in the game of Christ? And if you come up feeling short, like, oh, I really haven't been doing it, I don't want you to feel bad. I just want you to make a repentant change. I want you to ask God to tell you where to start, where to go, what to do, so that you can move forward in your faith. Because if you are not growing, you are stagnant, or worse, falling backwards. I don't like backwards. Backwards doesn't work well for me. I like moving forwards. And so, how are you doing in the faith? I read something this week which was kind of interesting, because as we are moving through the church age, which is over 2,000 years old now, we are under the age of grace in the time of the church. Understand, and please, I'll say this again. I'm only saying it. This is a little side bunny trail. I only say this because I speak up here, and sometimes you don't listen to what I say. One more time this week, I heard from somebody in this church who decided they were going to start reading the Bible from beginning to end. How many times have I told you, don't do that? You won't get very far. You might get to Leviticus and then you'll snooze out. Do not do that. The Old Testament is done. It is over. It is completed. It is finished. I want you to understand that. That doesn't mean that it's not important. What I'm saying to you is you're not going to get anything from the Old Testament for your spiritual life in Christ right now. Because we are living in the age of grace under the new covenant. The old has been fulfilled, and even the covenant itself has been taken away, nailed on the cross, because Jesus calls it weak and useless. The law never saved even one person, ever. So if you're going to go out there and start telling people you need to come to Jesus, and that means you need to be a good guy or a good girl, you need to behave, that's not the ministry of the gospel. That doesn't mean you go out and misbehave, but misbehaving is all part of the gig. We're going to do it anyway. But if you're not growing in the game and saying, where am I standing, like that little girl with a helmet, if you haven't strapped on your helmet and said, Lord, I'm ready, let's go, and felt that urge of like, come on, then I'm going to invite you to show up here on Wednesdays, to show up down there on Wednesdays. It was awesome the other day. My buddy showed up. Dan showed up the other day on Friday. I was like, yeah, hallelujah. It was awesome. Did you have a good time? Nobody shot at you, did they?
No, I had a good time.
It was a good time. It's awesome to be out there. We saw all these protesters out there. We're not protesting. We're holding up Jesus signs. Jesus. And I say, Lord, you said in Isaiah, yeah, that's Old Testament, but it's a promise that goes to the new. Your word will not return void. It will accomplish what you please. Period. So I'm standing out here on the corner. I've got the gospel out here. And I'm standing out here today because I'm selfish and I expect a reward for doing this. Yeah, I do. Might not be as big a reward as doing it for you, but I want it because you know what? What can I say? I don't want to be here, but I am. You can do that sometimes. It's okay. Sometimes, growing up, my daughter had to do things, or all my kids had to do. I laid down a rule. I said, I want you to do that. And sometimes I had to lay out motivational things, you know, motivation. Sometimes, and I had always learned that the best motivation is positive, right? If you do this, you'll get this. How many like that kind of motivation? I like that. I think that's kind of cool, man. If I work hard, I'll get paid. Or if I cut the grass, I'm going to get rewarded. Or if I do anything whatsoever, I'm going to be blessed. Unfortunately, I didn't grow up in a house like that. I grew up in a house with the opposite, where it was, if you don't do that, right? That didn't really help with me. Because being of the rebellious spirit, you didn't know that. Being of a rebellious nature, I have a tendency to react badly to have to. Okay? God is trying to tell his church today that the Old Testament was the old way of doing things, and I'm going to tell you what I expect you to do, and if you don't do it, and they didn't, and Jesus comes along in the New Testament and he says, okay, I'm going to change the plan. How about I did it all for you? I took the punishment. I laid grace upon you. I give you peace in your heart when you come to me. You receive my life, my will. You do as I say. And life is going to just be rewarded over the top. And I understand reward. How many here understand reward in heaven? I do. There's like 6 crowns you can earn in heaven. I got them all but one. I already got them all because I read them. I sat down and I read them what you have to do to get them. And I've done them. And I can show the fruit from them. So I know I've got 5 of the 6. The only one I don't have is the crown of martyrdom. But we ain't out of here yet. What I'm saying to you is that you can work for reward. What I see in the world today, especially in the church, is God comes along and he says, if you don't do this, you're going to get this. And then the whole system changes over to you. If you do this, you'll get this. And unfortunately, what I see is people, God, I don't believe in your punishment. I don't care about your punishment. But I don't care about your reward either. I'm going to do my own thing. Isn't that sad? And that's what the day of repentance is going to be about. There was a comment that I read this week that basically said, we happen to be living because of the days and age. We are living between the game-winning play. Know what that is? The game-winning play is the cross. We're living between the game-winning play and the end of the game. I'll never forget years ago, my son Colt was playing on the state champ team in Venice, the first one, and we went to go out to see it, and they were just having a spectacular year, and he was on the starting team, and they just never threw him the ball, even though he was a wide receiver, ever. Just never threw him the ball. And drove him nuts. He just throw the ball to me. And so we ended up going down to Fort Myers, and we were late because we ended up going out to eat. And I'm not going to tell you the restaurant, but we went out to eat, and it just took so long to get served and waited on. When we got there, the game had already been going on for a half an hour. And as we walked in, everybody says, man, that son of yours is fantastic. That catch was awesome. We never saw anything like that in high school ball. And I'm like, what? We missed it. But somebody captured it on a camera. They threw it to him, and he fell backwards like this as he's going down the end line, and he caught the ball in midair like this with one hand and fell backwards as he pulled in. Really cool. I wish I saw it. It was like a game-winning play. But once you have the game-winning play, and you've seen that in sports so many times, you know that you've got the game in hand, that you are winning, that the score is just barely ahead, that when if this buzzer was to go off right now, you win. But the other team has the ball, and they're driving. And if they score, you lose. You know what that's like? Isn't it interesting how the crowd starts to go, wah, come on, no, 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 no. You get really excited about that, and you scream for your team, and come on, come on, come on. You know what that is? That's praise. That's, yeah, man, we're on the winning team. We've got this in hand. Christ has come to the cross. You heard John say, nothing can take me out of his hand. Do you understand that? Not, did you hear what he said? Not even me. I can't do anything to take me out of Christ's hand. I am in his care. Once I received him as my Lord and Savior, there is not a thing that can remove me. That's Romans 8. Romans 8. Do we praise him enough? Do we thank him? Are we saying, Lord, thank you so much for what you've given to me? I want to be part of that team. I want to be out there saying, yeah, let's go, let's go, let's go. I'm telling you, we're the only ones out there on 41 or anywhere that are holding up signs. We used to go around years ago, I had it in my mind, we used to go out and knock on doors. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen because Randy says that he was saved that way. Somebody knocked on his door. But the results are rather low. Just using statistics. Not saying we won't do it again. But the point is, when you're standing out there and you've got scripture and you're on the, look what you're doing. You're telling people the gospel. It's not being done enough. And you people are doing it. You're in the game. I had somebody say to me just recently, they don't come to Bible study, but very once in a great, great while. And they said to me this, and it kind of shocked me. You ready? Man, your people really know the Bible well. I was like, what? These people? But apparently you've been coming long enough that you're getting it. And that's awesome. They're just starting out in their faith. They don't really understand it that much. They don't understand the Bible. But you've been coming. You've been coming. So you're so far ahead down the line. Praise being part of a team that is a winning team, and we're proving it by our actions. People are still shocked when I go around and I'll say, look, we never closed our church once, not one Sunday, never. What? That's right, because we're not going to. Faith over fear, that's how it works. You were part of a winning team. You didn't know that, did you? Here, you thought you were just a bunch of losers. No, no, you are at the top of the heap. And that's why I'm proud of you. I am absolutely proud of you. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. While a lot of other pastors and churches are going to get together downtown Venice and pray around in a circle, we're going to actually have a little party. And that's why I'm counting on you to go out to your friends, neighbors, and invite them. Hey, free food, come on over. Oh, masks are optional. We don't care about those masks. You squirt a hand sanitizer, no big deal. Don't worry about that. When you get life back to life as normal. Are you part of the game? Are you part of the praise? Are you saying, Lord, I am glad to be part of your team? To the church of Thessalonians, look, the church is the only Christ God-ordained organization on the planet. There is no other. No other God, no other organization. And yeah, I get it. There's a lot of churches that are out there. They're saying stuff that's wacky, a little weird. They believe some stuff that maybe we have questions about in Scripture because we might be a little mature or maybe immature. But the point is that the church is it. There is no other thing. It's us or nothing. Christ is going to use you and me to reach the world, and if we don't do it, it won't get done. Do you understand that? And you're either in it or you're not. You're either part of it or you're not. I'm proud to be a part of the church. I grew up, and I think I shared with you before, I grew up not liking the church because everybody was my mother. You know, it was okay back then if I acted up. Anybody could smack me across the back of the head, and they did. But look, I grew up, and Jesus said one time when I was saying that church, I'm so sick of those kinds of people. He said, that's my bride you're talking about. Don't talk about her like that. Change my attitude. And now I'm glad to be part of her because you know what? I am her. When God comes back, when Christ returns to get me and take me home, the reason why that tribulation period is without the church, before Christ returns from the time of the rapture to the time that he comes back to judge, that 7-year period, you know what's going on? A wedding supper. A wedding celebration. And who's the bride? Us. And Christ is the groom. 7 years just with him. With no grief, no problem. All the stuff that's going on down here, we won't have any part of it. How would you like to just share with enough people to get more people into the party? That's the gig. Come on, man. You can't lose. So I love it. I'm part of the church of Christ. I'm present. I'm showing up. Next week, show up. Next week, show up. If you're not in the habit, do it. Another thing, read your Bible. Bill said something to me, and I learned this just recently. Bill said something to me that was kind of cool and a confirmation. I find that when I start reading the Bible, I want to read it more. That's a procedure. That's policy. That's the way it works. If you're having somebody, I talked to somebody this week, who are having problems with eating because they're sick, they're elderly, they're not feeling well. And the hard thing is that they have to eat or they're not going to get well at all. One of the ways to do that is you just got to eat. You have to. If you don't force yourself to eat, you won't eat, and it'll get worse and worse and worse. Spend time with Jesus, as I've said over and over. Start by opening up or setting your alarm 15 minutes earlier and sit there and go, Lord, here I am. And start with the Bible, Book of John. All right? Are you present? Are you showing up individually and corporately? Do you praise him with his people, with your actions? Are you praying for his church and for yourself? It says right here in the Word, it says, we pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and in him. You can literally pray that. Christ can be glorified in you, in your life, every day, everywhere you are. I shared with somebody yesterday, I had fun. I came out of the gas station, and as I was going into the store to pay, because it was at this Sunoco down here, it was cash, it's cheaper that way, and I'm cheap. So there's this black guy pulled up beside me, and I went in first, and then he came in walking behind me, and I came out, and he passed me. And as I come out, I see he has this car, and on the front of his windshield says, Delilah. So I'm pumping gas, and here he comes. He's just on a complete other island from me. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? No, bro. I said, hey, bro, how you doing? Just see what he says, you know. I'm expecting, since he knows the Bible, he probably knows the Bible. I says, hey, what's the deal with the name of the car? He says, well, it's a Del Soro, and I needed a name, and I just named it Delilah. He spelled it wrong, but that's okay. I said, oh, so you know the Bible. He says, well, I know Delilah. I said, oh, you're a Jesus guy. He went, no. I said, what? Why not? Just like that. Because who's the Jesus guy? Me. What's my job? Get to him. He opened his mouth first. He mentioned the Bible first. I said, so you don't believe in God? He says, my brother's one of those kind of people. Oh, your brother is. He says, don't get me wrong, I believe in God. And I said, as do the demons, and they shudder. He didn't like that. I said, so you know the gospel, huh? He goes, yeah. How can you turn down the gospel, I said. And he gets in his car because he wants to get out of there as fast as he can. And as he's getting ready to drive, I said, look, I want to see you in heaven and you know better. Got it? Just like that. You say, well, I can't do that. Why not? You're the Jesus person. Why not? Open up your mouth. Are you participating? Are you praying? Are you praising? Are you doing what Christ wants you to do like that little girl? He's not going to ask you to jump off of a cliff with a helmet. He's going to be there with you and for you. I've told you before, I've shared the gospel in some really, really bad places. In front of some really nasty people. Never one time in my life has anybody even taken a swing at me. So you're good. Open up your mouth. Prove it to yourself. Get involved. Be part of it. Participate. That's the point. I like this verse in here in 2 Corinthians. It says, with this in mind, we pray constantly for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill, listen to this, this is 1:11, that he may fulfill every good purpose of yours, and every act prompted by your faith. What's that mean? It doesn't even have to be his idea. You don't have to wait for him to spiral something into your head. I walked out there and I saw Delilah, and I went, interesting. Wonder what's going to happen with this. Look, you can be the one. You're on the front lines. You can open up the discussion. You're the one that can say stuff. I'm a Jesus guy. Where's your mask? I don't wear one. Why? Because I'm a Jesus guy. I have total faith. Even if I die, I'm going to heaven. Do you? You see what I'm saying? Be bold. I'll close with this. It's kind of interesting. My son Clint was supposed to be home on Monday. And you know his story. He got the harbor pilot job, but he ended up losing his job where he was flying over. Thank God in Lebanon. He wasn't there when that bomb went off. But he presented himself, and his brother arranged to get him to work with a tug company. A tug company that the ones that actually push the ships that he's going to be managing later on. And also, they push these barges, and they go from Crystal River all the way over to Mobile, Alabama with limestone, and then they bring back coal. So it's a constant thing back and forth across the Gulf of Mexico. And so he arranged that, and Clint shows up, and he's like, no matter what happens, I'm getting paid, which is cool, and I'm getting experience, which is cool, and whatever they ask me, they're smarter than me, I'm going to do it. You get that? And so he signed up, and he says, they said, what do you want to do? He says, I'll do whatever you tell me. And so his whole experience has been kind of interesting because he told me on the phone yesterday, he called from Mobile, he says, I was supposed to be home tomorrow, but there's this weather storm that's out there and we can't leave because this old tugboat that we're driving across the Gulf of Mexico probably won't make it. Now, I don't really care because we got these really nice, you know, life rafts. They float, they spin, they turn. I'm not worried about it. I'll be fine. But Angela's not going to be happy because she's expecting it tomorrow. We're not even leaving. I won't be home till Thursday. I don't want to tell her. You see, he's a puppet to the company. Whatever they said, he says, I'll do. Hey, we lost a mate over here. We lost somebody who's an officer over here in this one. Can you go over there? He says, yes, sir, I sure can. He's available. He's present. He's there. He does what he's told. You know what he told me the other day? They let me actually park the tugboat, the dock it, by myself. Even as a harbor pilot, he doesn't do that. How'd you do?
I didn't kill anybody.
Look, I'm proud of him. Why? Because he's willing to do whatever it takes to learn the job. And he makes himself available. He doesn't whine. He doesn't cry. If they tell him, get outside in that storm and lock everything down, you're going to get wet. It's going to be nasty. Go out and do it. He does it. What about you? Are you doing it for Jesus? Come on, man. It's just that easy. Open up your mouth. Show up. Be present. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Got it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you bless us, and it's like keeping score maybe. As we raised our kids and we look back, we don't remember every meal, every grocery, everything that we did. Nothing is remembered except, yeah, it was tough at times. But you ask us to work and serve you, and you are keeping score. Even the tiniest things we say, do, the places we show up when we interject your name, even the tiniest things, you are keeping score, and you promise that you will reward us when we get to heaven. So there's no reason for us not to get there with a whole boatload of cool stuff. So Lord, help us to be willing to do that. We turn our hearts away from the way we used to do things and want to be open and vocal and even more visual for you. Thank you for the opportunity, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Is that a good word? All right, let's do this. If you
truth I was drifting up. My heart was failing. My heart was failing. In the dark, heard a song. It was the sweetest sound that I've ever heard. And my soul went sailing. Yeah, my soul went sailing. I'm waking up, I'm waking up. I can feel my heart beating with breath in my lungs. Like a shark wave from inside of my chest. I should have been gone, could have been dead. I'm waking up, I'm waking up. I can feel my heart beating with breath in my lungs. I'm on fire, finally free. I am alive in the land of the living.
Prayer. I'm glad I'm married above me.